Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And I've got Brother Travis Bryan III on the line. Good morning, brother. How you doing?
Todd, doing fine. How are you today?
Doing great, brother. We got a very interesting program this morning about two lines running down through the Bible. Hallelujah. But before we get to that, I wanted to encourage the saints listening to consider praying about coming to the Cross Conference this May 2017 from May 12th to the 14th, just for a weekend, a conference retreat of sorts, if you will, to be refreshed and taught the Word of God, namely the cross of Christ and how it should be central in each of our lives. And it's sure to be a very rich time of fellowship. It's going to be in the beautiful mountains of Buena Vista, Colorado. And if you'd like more info on that, go to safeguardyoursoul.com. And you'll see the banner at the top of the page. Just click there, and there's a page where you can find out more. And I hope you'll pray about coming. God bless you, saints. Also, we want to invite you to participate in the work of the ministry that's going on daily through Safeguard Your Soul Ministries and by becoming a supporter. That's also available on the website safeguardyoursoul.com. Now, Brother Travis, you wrote a piece recently on the
Let me ask you a question, Todd, before we get started.
Yes, sir.
If there's only, 20 rooms in that hotel we're going to at the Cross Conference? Is that about right?
Actually,
or 15 rooms, something like that?
Yes, yeah, something like 12 to 15. Yeah. Huh?
12 rooms. And I wonder if there are any other rooms in the area, or hotels or motels whatever, that people, if we had overflow, they could find there.
Yes, definitely. Definitely available.
Good deal.
Yes, sir. Amen. So you wrote a piece about...
Let's go ahead with the program, brother.
Yeah, amen. The two lines running down through the Bible, and this is a monumental topic, saints. It's quite interesting how many people still believe that they still have to keep the law to be right with God, which is absolutely an abomination. And those words are not too strong. Considering and looking at what Paul said to those Galatians, for example, who had left Christ to go back to law. The scripture says that Christ is the end, it's over, of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Our faith is in the only one who ever kept the law and then nailed it to the tree, and his name is Jesus Christ. We are not under the law in any fashion for righteousness. And I encourage you to memorize Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Brother Travis writes about these two lines running through the Bible all the way from the beginning. And that's where we're going to go to, one of our main texts, all the way back to Genesis 4. If you'll recall, Genesis 3 is where man had fallen. And we're going to peer into the lives of two men that were brothers named Cain and Abel here in just a moment. Now, Brother Travis, you wrote, there is the one line of the life, love, faith, and grace of God, and there is the other line of law, human effort, and performance-based acceptance through works of the law. Now, Brother Travis, right in our midst, there are many believers and some who may not yet have been born again that still think they have to perform to gain God's approval. Is that not what we see around us, Brother Travis?
Absolutely, Todd, and that's based on actual scripture. Deuteronomy 28 is a totally performance-based chapter. You read that, If the person performs, they're blessed. If they don't, they're cursed. And that is what I mean when I say performance-based. Performance-based means that it's dependent on us. This takes Jesus' work on the cross totally out of the picture and centers around ourself as the power source of behavior. And that is a great fallacy. We really can't be acceptable to God as far as salvation is concerned, except through the work of Jesus on the cross. Not our work, not our performance, but his performance, Todd. And so these two lines come down through the Bible. One, the performance-based, self-centered, self-righteous person who everything depends on him. And then the understanding that the other line is, hey, it's a gift. What do I have that I didn't receive? You know, it's faith in what he did. And see,
amen.
This is the great divide in the Bible, Todd, is this New Testament idea, and actually it's been running all since Adam and Eve. The New Testament idea is that salvation is a gift. You don't earn it or deserve it. Let me make one other comment. A law, when you have a law mentality, you believe that you get what you deserve. Either condemnation or a blessing. And then the other way is you get what you don't deserve. That's grace, Todd.
Yeah,
that's on both ends. We get the cross. The circumstances of the cross come to us many times, things we don't deserve. I mean, this explains why bad things happen to good people. Just like Job, everybody's got to go through the cross, good and bad.
Amen,
so
brother.
You get the cross you don't deserve, but you also get blessing and favor you don't deserve. So one line is you get what you deserve. The other one is you get what you don't deserve. Totally.
Amen, brother. Yeah, and might I add, I believe, brother, that there's a spirit of antichrist. In other words, in place of Christ, anti does not only mean against you, against, but in place of, which is the much more insidious definition that we see working itself
absolutely
out. Wherever we replace Christ, who is to be magnified and upheld in worship from our hearts, Colossians 1 and 2. This magnificent, unspeakably incredible Lord and Savior, whenever he is replaced by anything, including and namely ourselves, we are being influenced and under the spirit of Antichrist, which is exactly what the Galatians witchcraft that came down on them. They had been bewitched. Galatians 3. Now, you pointed out.
Now, think about that, Todd, right there. He said,
yeah,
you stupid, you idiotic, you foolish Galatians.
Yeah.
Have you been bewitched? This is an evil magic spell he's talking about. This thing is, being under the law is, I mean, it's a tragic thing, Todd. This thing is not any minor thing in the Bible. It is a whole theology that runs through the whole thing.
Absolutely. It's a guaranteed trip to hell. I can tell you that. If anything will send you to hell, it would be attempting to keep the law, spitting in the face of the Almighty who sent his only begotten Son to be the complete, perfect sacrifice for our sins. Amen, brother. So you spoke about these two lines, one being that of life, love, faith, and grace, and then the other, in contrast, being law, human effort, performance-based acceptance through the works of the law, through being good enough in and of ourselves. Now, there are examples of these two lines that you wrote about, and you said the tree of life versus the tree of the knowledge of good and evil Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. And Satan, I want to encourage you to, on a regular basis, read the first few chapters, at least the first four, of Genesis. Genesis means the book of origins. And seed thought, in at least seed form, we have every major doctrine of Scripture in this book, this fabulous, glorious 50-chapter book of Genesis. And you wrote, Brother Travis, the first tree, that is the tree of life versus, the tree of life, this first tree represents the life of Christ, a tree which God returns us to after he saves us and gives us access to again through the cross, our death with Christ, Romans 6, etc., Galatians 2:20, Colossians 3:4. And then you contrasted that the other tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is the of good and evil, which teaches us that law is the way to God and a way to know the difference between good and evil so we can try hard to do good and avoid evil, thereby gaining God's acceptance. It is the tree of law, that is, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which leads to sin and finally death. And, brother, you pointed out 1 Corinthians 15:56, which says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You want to speak to that a little bit, brother?
Yeah, what he's taken the enemies of mankind in a reverse order there. He's giving the first as the end product of law and sin, which is death. So the sting of death, that's where sin got into man through the serpent in the garden, the sting of the serpent, which leads to death, is sin. But then it says the strength of sin is the law. Todd, that is profound right there. This is setting forth the proposition that the very gasoline in the engine of the sin nature that pumps out sinful acts and omissions, the gasoline in that engine of sin is the law, Todd, the law.
Mm.
The law is righteous, holy, and good, as it says in Romans 7, but when it comes against your flesh and your rebellious, not you, Todd, personally, but our rebellious nature that we're born with, it arouses that sin nature and arouses the passions of that sin nature and causes them to come to life. That's Romans 7, what Romans 7 is all about. That's why we need to die to the law. It's just as important as that we die to the law as a way of acceptance with God as it is that we die to sin, which is an offense against God. So the sting of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the Mosaic law, Todd. Romans 5:20 says the law came in order that sin might increase, not decrease, increase.
Amen. And then Paul, in chapter 7 of Romans, says he had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And then he speaks about how the law just to magnify his sin, right?
Correct, and many argue, well, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Well, right there, he's included one of the ten. The Tenth Commandment is thou shalt not covet. So clearly, the ten are included in this theology, Todd.
Amen. Okay, and then you talked about Romans 5, as you just referred to a minute ago, and how we have the two Adams, if you will. You wrote, next we have the first Adam, who ate from the tree of law and fell into sin and death, which sin we inherit from Adam as it passed down to us through the DNA of our earthly father. And saints, this is Romans chapter 5, verse 14 through 21. And then you wrote, Brother Travis, but the first Adam is then contrasted with a second line, who is the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who died for us and provided the way back into the garden of the life of God. Eternal life is not a period of time as much as it is a person, even Jesus Christ. Amen, brother. That's a really powerful commentary on this important section of Scripture in Romans 5, 14 through 21, contrasting the first Adam and the second Adam. And, brother, if you wish to comment on that, let me know. Otherwise, we'll flow into the Cain and Abel contrast.
The train left the station with Adam, and it's been barreling down the tracks ever since, Todd. But Jesus came into the earth to get us off that train and put on his get into his heavenly train. That's the second line of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And only through his death can we make that transition and get out of the train headed toward destruction and get on a train going the opposite direction, going to heaven. And it's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Not just an intellectual assent to that truth, but an actual participation in that death, Todd. That is the thing that I try to center on, is our participation, our fellowship with Christ in his death. To merely understand that he died for your sins so you go to heaven someday is so shallow, and although a beautiful fact and true, very shallow, and does not reach the deep centeredness in your life, the self-centeredness. It has to go for you to more and more transition between these two trains, Todd.
Amen. And experience the life of Christ. And regrettably, you just, in a nutshell, spelled out what we see in most of the modern church world. We see no daily participation in the cross with Christ. We see no preaching that would lead someone to realize that they must abide in Christ or they will be cast into the fire. They must experience.
Yes, abiding is just another way to say participate, Todd. I was stunned when I finally realized, what Paul is saying. He is huge on this word participation and fellowship with Christ, first in his death, and then by that into his resurrection we participate. So we are even participating now in his seating in heavenly places. So participation.
Amen.
We're not just observers sitting out in an audience. We're up on the stage with him, actually participating in the cross and the resurrection, Todd.
Amen. Having Christ raise us up daily in his strength and power and fellowship as we lay down our lives and participate in the reenactment, could I say, Brother Travis, of the cross.
I think the reenactment is it. We're his body, and we're going through the same scenario, Todd, where it's being re-realized in us today.
Amen, brother. Now, saints, I want to point you to Romans chapter 5 through 7. This is where all of this is coming from, and the Bible, the book of Romans is a doctrinal letter, as is the book of Hebrews. The only two in the New Testament, I believe. And it's called the ABCs of the Christian faith, the book of Romans. I'm just going to grab one little piece here out of Romans 6 so that you don't think that someone doesn't think Travis and I are just making up our own way. We're certainly not doing that. God forbid.
I've been accused of that, Todd.
Yeah. Until people read it in the scriptures themselves, that's the problem. Somebody is deceived for lack of knowledge, and they're going to be destroyed. And they're being destroyed because they do not get their own eyes that God gave them on the Holy Scriptures, on the Word of God, and learn it for themselves. Romans 6, 3 through 5. Know ye not, Paul says, that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. There cannot be a resurrection unless there is a death. That's the death, burial, and resurrection gospel that we see throughout Scripture. And it's a delight to be on the air again today because with Brother Travis Bryan III, because he has helped us much to see the cross encoded throughout history, throughout biblical history for sure, even in creation, but in the books of the Old Testament, in the characters, all throughout the Bible, on every page of Scripture, we see the cross, including right here with the first family, Brother Travis, you wrote about Cain and Abel. All the way back in Genesis 4, the book of origins, you wrote about how then we have Cain and Abel. Abel represents the correct line or way of approach God, which is to access God through the cross by faith. Now, of course, Cain offered the animal sacrifice. Abel offered the animal sacrifice, whereby was prefigured the shedding of blood, and that represented the cross.
Exactly.
And Cain represents the false way to approach God by human effort. There it is. This is the contrast, saints, of what Brother Travis is merely pointing out that we see throughout Scripture. And as is the title indicates, that there are two lines running through Scripture, and that's grace and law. And the Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1:17, Moses brought the law, he says there. So Cain, in contrast to Abel, Cain represents a false way to approach God by human effort to perform works of the law or our performance, our own performance, rather than Christ's performance at Calvary. Now, Brother Travis, in light of this, do you think that Christians are prompted, as I did last night, I asked a gentleman if he had why he would go to heaven if he died today. Does that kind of bring out where a person is in this matter, in these two lines, Brother Travis?
Oh, yes, it does, and they'll inevitably, many of them will say, well, I've been a good person. I believe I'm going to heaven. And they give lip service to Christ, but it's really centered in how good of a person they've been.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. And remember, if you're listening, because many listen to the program, you must be born again, friend. That means a complete change of life from the inside out, a miracle of God done inside of you. As you come to repentance, stop your own way, and put Jesus Christ first in your life, trusting him and his finished work on the cross. Hallelujah. That's when that miracle of regeneration, being born again, happens. Something only God can do, as you simply repent, you turn from your own way, and you put all your trust in Christ, realizing that you're fully guilty of breaking the law of God and deserving only of death. But Jesus took the blow of death for you on the cross, and you can experience and appropriate the benefits of it by putting your faith in him as you turn away from your own way to the Lord, who provided salvation in full for all mankind. Amen. So, Brother Travis, you talked about Abel and how he approached God in the only acceptable way. Now, this is just this contrasts not only grace and law here, brother. This contrasts the two different kinds of people on the earth. Some are trusting Christ, realizing their own righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as futile in the eyes of a holy God. And there are others that are trying to work their way to heaven. That's why we see depicted in the song and throughout occultic pagan artwork and rituals is the stairway to heaven. No such thing as anyone climbing up to heaven. You're brought to heaven by heaven's King, Jesus Christ. You're brought into the heavenly kingdom by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and his perfect sacrifice on that cross. It is finished. It is paid in full. John 19, verse 30. So you wrote about, Brother Travis, Abel approached God in the only way acceptable, and that's through death as represented by the sacrificial death of his livestock. Amen.
Of course, the death of the livestock is a, as you said, a prefigurement of the death of Christ. Todd, the only prescribed way to come to God is through Christ. And he said, no man come to the Father except through me. And he means through me, killed, buried, and resurrected, and your participation in and following me in that path. That's the only way to come to God, Todd, and we can't come to him through our own works as Abel was trying to do. He had a beautiful display of flowers and fruits of the field, his representing his toil. I mean, he had toiled in the earth to produce these this beautiful presentation to God, and God did not want it. He does not want our human effort to keep rules as a way for acceptance by him. The only way of acceptance from him is through Christ, Todd, and the cross. Hey. That's why Paul said, I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That verse right there tells you the centerpiece of the gospel right there, Todd. That's why he camped on it throughout his epistles. And so in Cain and Abel, you see the two lines, and yes, you're correct. On the earth today, everybody is in on one train or the other. They're going on one line or the other, and people think it's up to me. They're in the wrong line, Todd. It's Christ and what he did. I'm sorry, that's offensive to the human pride and arrogance.
Yeah,
and,
amen.
So go ahead, Todd.
Oh, yeah, Jesus said in John 10:1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, which he later here says he
that's
is the
only cross,
door.
That's the cross, Todd. The cross.
Hey.
The door is
Amen.
The cross.
Amen. Into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber.
That's human effort to climb up, Todd.
Yes, sir. We've got about 2 minutes left. This is a fascinating study. And, Saints, this is going to be posted on safeguardyoursoul.com. Abel approached God one way, Cain another. As you just spelled out, Brother Travis, Abel came by faith in the coming Redeemer, which obviously his parents had taught them this. God had taught Adam and Eve, obviously, and they taught their children, but only one of them obeyed. Only one of them said, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to seek first the
exactly.
kingdom of God, and his righteousness and all these other things are going to be added to me by doing it God's way, not my own
mm-hmm.
way. The national anthem, if you will, and the motto of the rebel is that I did it my way. Well, my friend, we've got just a few seconds here left. Your way is a guaranteed trip to a place of utter, conscious, eternal, never-ending torment, irrevocably. The good news is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. And believing upon Christ is more than just mental assent. You must repent You must lay down your life and follow Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace, that is the unmerited favor of God, are you saved through faith, faith in Christ alone, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you want more on how to be saved, go to the Peace with God button, top left, on safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you, friend. Thank you for listening. Brother Travis, fabulous, fabulous program and message. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. God bless. Bye-bye.